We now tackle the last 24 pages of the theology of the body. And soon your suffering will end. But don't forget Wesley's wise words to Princess Buttercup. Life is pain, Your Highness. Anyone who tells you different is selling something. John Paul II titles this second section of the third chapter of part two, An Outline of Conjugal Spirituality, where three distinct systems of powers converge. I'm reminded of the 1985 hit by Huey Lewis and the News called The Power of Love. The opening lines go, "The power of love is a curious thing. Make one man weep, make another man sing. Change a hawk into a little white dove. More than a feeling, that's the power of love." And John Paul concludes his theology of the body by examining this curious thing of human love down to its divine depths, especially as couples experience it in marriage. The interaction of these three powers of love constitute the heart of conjugal spirituality. First, the Pope points out that the sacrament itself of marriage endows spouses with a spiritual power. He explains, "This then is the essential and fundamental power, the love of God, planted in the heart, poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Spouses must implore God for such power and for every other divine help through prayer from the very living fountain of the Eucharist, and must overcome their own faults and sins in the sacrament of penance." Therefore, married couples can always avail themselves of two kinds of power: natural powers called virtues and supernatural powers called sacramental graces and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We might compare these two marital powers to two maritime powers. That is how ships are propelled over the water. A ship possesses internal sources of power like oars or an engine. But a ship can also utilize external sources of power when it unfurls its sails and is carried along effortlessly by the wind. First, the enormous exertion of rowing with oars in order to move a ship is similar to the virtue of chastity or continence, helping couples cross the rough seas of sexuality. The Holy Father elaborates, "Continence consists in the ability to master, control, and orient the sexual drives, concupiscence of the flesh, and their consequences in the psychosomatic subjectivity of human persons." By the way, the word virtue comes from the Latin word vir, which means man or manliness. Being manly means completing hard tasks through sustained effort. But there is a second and easier power to move the ship of spousal spirituality, namely by unfurling the sails and catching the graces and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here the Holy Father highlights the gift of reverence, in Latin, the donum pietatis. The Pope describes reverence in these terms. Listen. Reverence for the two meanings of the conjugal act. And by the way, Janet Smith calls these two meanings babies and bonding. can fully develop only on the basis of a deep orientation to the personal dignity of what is intrinsic to masculinity and femininity in the human person, and inseparably in reference to the personal dignity of the new life, the baby, that can spring from the conjugal union of man and woman. That is, the gift of reverence instills in spouses a holy and healthy fear of how spousal sexuality brings a new life into the world. Reverence teaches them that babies and bonding both share a mutual divine dignity. How so? Well, think of how hard it is for a small child to learn that he or she was adopted. Why is such a discovery so unsettling for a child, even if the adoptive parents genuinely love and care for her? Because it matters where we come from, where we are conceived. In every child's deepest core, they know they should come from the loving embrace of a mother and a father. Anything less, rape, IVF, even contraceptive sex, deeply offends a baby's inherent sense of its own divine dignity. In other words, reverence empowers couples to catch the shared dignity of babies and bonding. Now, obviously, I am not criticizing adoption. I only intend to illustrate how a child's visceral reaction to the news of her being adopted points to the fact that her biological parents failed to avail themselves of the gift, the power of reverence. That is, in the storm of their unfettered passions, the biological parents ran the ship of their spousal spirituality aground by separating their baby from their bonding. We might recall how Moses felt a similar intense donum pietatis in Exodus chapter 3 when he approached the burning bush. He removed his sandals as a gesture that he was walking on holy ground. So too, married couples, feeling the power of the same donum pietatis, remove all forms of artificial contraceptives, their proverbial sandals, when they tread the holy ground of spousal intimacy. And third, the Pope considers why married couples need both natural and supernatural sources of power of love. Simple. They're constantly fighting the evil power of concupiscence, the waves of this world whisking them away from arriving at their divine destiny. John Paul employs his typical technical language to describe this third power of concupiscence working in conjugal spirituality. The concupiscence of the flesh and the corresponding sexual desire aroused by it expresses itself in the sphere of somatic reactivity and further with a psycho-emotive arousal of the sexual impulse. In simpler terms, the contrary current of our sexual passions blind us to the dignity of human persons as children of God, thereby causing us to use them as objects for our sexual pleasure. Therefore, the only way for spouses to overcome this powerful undertow of concupiscence is by faithfully using both the oars of the virtues and the sails of the graces of the sacraments and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is how these three powers of love converge at the crossroads of spousal spirituality. In a sense, John Paul's last bark ends up being an invitation to board the bark of St. Peter, the classic motif for the church as a ship weathering the storms of this world. I once heard Scott Hahn give a nautical analogy for the Christian life that applies very well to spousal spirituality. He said, imagine everyone in the world is in the ocean and we are all competing in a swimming race. Everyone is swimming as hard as they can, dealing with the currents and the waves. The only difference is Catholics are in a speedboat. Similarly, everyone on board the bark of St. Peter, which for 26 years was steered by Peter's successor, Pope St. John Paul II, and especially married couples on board this bark are empowered by the virtues and graces and gifts. And John Paul II has installed a new navigation system in the bark of St. Peter called the theology of the body to get us safely home to heaven. Praised be Jesus Christ.